T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parrish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. I hope you didn't plan to spend the rest of the decade watching Mike Krzyzewski coach the Duke Blue Devils, because the person most believed is the greatest men's college basketball coach of all time has reached the decision to walk away from the sport at the conclusion of next season. Whenever Duke loses or wins the 2022 NCAA tournament, that'll be it for Coach K. We'll talk about it momentarily because it is the biggest story in sports today. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20. After we discuss Coach K, we'll turn our attention to the NBA because it has been a wild past 24 hours in the NBA. So I'll spend the middle segment of the first hour on the past 24 hours in the association. We're going to do that starting around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, and do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories, among them 4 more NBA games tonight. So we're going to use that segment to look ahead to all 4, starting with Grizz Jazz. Closeout game for Utah tonight. T. Morant will be courtside, courtesy of Jazz owner Ryan Smith. Nice gesture on Utah's behalf. We'll get into it around 4:44. Wizards Sixers is also tonight. No Joel Embiid for Philadelphia, so the Sixers are only 6-point favorites at home. We'll talk about that a little later on this hour. Hawks Knicks tonight inside at Madison Square Garden. Trae Young trying to drive New York crazy once again. Elimination game for the Knicks. Get into that just before 5 o'clock. And the last game of the night is going to tip inside Staples Center a little after 9 o'clock Central. It's Mavericks-Clippers, series tied 2-2. We'll get into it during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. And then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with the biggest story of the day in sports, the story that really screwed up my entire afternoon. Mike Krzyzewski, the winningest coach in men's Division I basketball history, a person who has guided Duke to 5 national titles, is retiring after next season. Associate head coach John Shire, who has never been a head coach and is just 33 years old, will be his successor. And the truth is, you know, speculation about this had been circulating in recent weeks. I won't pretend that I planned on spending today writing and talking about Mike Krzyzewski in this way, because I didn't. But in the past 2 or 3 weeks, you know, when you were texting with people in and around college basketball, talking to people in and around college basketball, the topic of, hey, what have you heard about K? thinking about maybe walking away, was something that did routinely come up. There had been speculation, not necessarily about this plan specifically, but speculation that the end was sooner rather than later. And today, that speculation turned into reality. Mike Krzyzewski's 42nd season at Duke and 47th as a head coach at the collegiate level will be his last. And I'll explain why in a second. But first, just some bullet points on what has been just an incredible career so that, and I'm not sure this is even necessary, but so that everybody understands exactly what kind of career we're talking about here. This is a guy whose career record is 1,170-361 overall. That includes his first five seasons at Army. At Duke, he's 1,097-302. His winning percentage with the Blue Devils is .784. Five national titles, 12 Final Fours, 12 ACC regular season titles, 15 ACC tournament titles. He's a three-time Naismith National Coach of the Year, five-time ACC Coach of the Year. He's won three gold medals as the head coach of the United States men's national team. Just a remarkable career that spans so many decades. I mean, some of my earliest memories of college basketball involve Mike Krzyzewski. And he's still coaching today at an extremely high level, and I'm old now. You know, he won his first national title in 1991. When Mike Krzyzewski won his first national title, I was in eighth grade. Now I have a child or son graduating high school, just graduated high school. And for that entire time, for more than three consecutive decades, I don't think anybody has been more synonymous with the sport of college basketball than Mike Krzyzewski. There have been other coaching stars, Bobby Knight, Rick Pitino, John Calipari, Tom Izzo, Bill Self, Lute Olson. The list is long. Roy Williams. But I don't think anybody has been more synonymous with college basketball than Mike Krzyzewski. Like, I don't think you even have to follow college basketball or be a sports fan to any real level to at least be aware of Coach K, that is a person. You know the black hair. You know the unique voice. You probably know some, if not most, of the accomplishments that I noted. You know, single word monikers are pretty common in college basketball. Tubby, Cal, Hugs, Tark. But I don't think anybody else owned a single letter. Who else owns a single letter? K is K. If you're talking to somebody in sports and they say, so what does K's next recruiting class look like? You know exactly who they're talking about with just a letter. Nobody else has a letter. Rick Pitino was great. He didn't have a letter. Roy Williams was great, but he didn't have a letter. It wasn't Coach W or Coach R or just R or W. It was Roy. And sure, that stood by itself. But to own a letter, it's yours. Like, there's only 26 of them. He's got one of them.
Right.
So it speaks to the success and the longevity of that success that a single letter can identify a single person. That's not normal. but it is the reality of Mike Krzyzewski. And so the question becomes, why now? Why is he walking away? And I can just tell you that in recent months, in conversations with people who know Mike well and are around him, either some or a lot, there were two constant things I heard. And most people who work in the industry heard. I don't want to pretend like I was privy to these secrets and nobody else heard. I think we were all hearing basically the same things. A, that the end was closer than maybe some realize. That he was ready to walk away and let somebody else do this job for a variety of reasons that we'll get into here in a second. But the second thing I'd heard is that he could not stand going out after last season, where Duke missed the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1995, and he finished incredibly 10th in the ACC. So take those two things and put them together. He's ready to go, but he can't stand to go like this. When you consider those two things, the plan they have put in place is actually the most sensible plan available. Go ahead and announce that you are walking away at the end of next season, but emphasize that it is at the end of next season. So you can A, coach one more time in a team that is going to be headlined by the probable number one pick in the 2022 NBA draft, Paolo Banchero. And I think a team that will have a chance to win a national championship. They will not be the favorite. Gonzaga will be the favorite. But they should be a contender. So coach that team. Go out, if not on top, certainly better than where you were at the end of the 2020-21 season. And then you can spend the next year simply coaching that basketball team. Not having to worry about the transfer portal. Not having to worry about recruiting. Not having to coach a game at Pitt on a Tuesday night and then jump on a private plane while your team goes back to campus and you fly to Chicago so that you can meet with a high school junior tomorrow afternoon. You don't have to do that. Just coach your team. And now that John Shire will be the successor, the responsibility lies with him to worry about the future of Duke basketball. You just have to worry about the present of Duke basketball, and then you can go out just a few weeks after you turn 75 years old next February. And again, if you focus on the two things that most people had been saying about Kay, he didn't want to go out finishing 10th in the ACC, missing the NCAA tournament, but he is ready to go out, then this plan makes total sense. And if the question is, why is he ready to get out? Well, let's start with the most obvious one. He turns 75 years old in February. It's actually remarkable that he's still coaching. I don't think if you would have asked somebody 20 years ago, is he going to still be coaching the age of 75, that they'd said he would, because there's very little precedent for people coaching this deep into their 70s. It's more normal today than it's ever been, but it's still not normal. So the obvious answer is the most accurate answer. He's about to turn 75 years old. It's time to go. But I don't think it's a stretch to suggest, if not insist, that the changing landscape of college basketball has probably expedited the process. I don't know if Kay will ever acknowledge that, but I can tell you people around him acknowledge that. And the changing landscape is a handful of things. Most notably, the incredible roster turnover that you have to deal with if you are running a basketball program like the Duke basketball program. You know, once upon a time, as Kay was building this thing into what it became, you could recruit a Johnny Dawkins or a Danny Ferry or a Christian Laettner or a Bobby Hurley or a Grant Hill and reasonably assume you're going to coach those players for multiple years, probably all four. In fact, every player I just named was two things, a four-year Duke Blue Devil and a first-round NBA draft pick. You don't get that anymore. Now, if you recruit the equivalent of a Danny Ferry or a Christian Laettner or a Bobby Hurley or a Grant Hill, and the equivalent of those players in these times is a Zion Williamson or an R.J. Barrett or a Jahlil Okafor or a Justice Winslow or a Tyus Jones. Now, if you recruit that level player, you almost certainly know you're keeping them for 1 year, which means you have to replace them after 1 year, which means it is an endless cycle. Enroll five stars, lose them, replace them. Lose them, replace them. Lose them, replace them. And ask any coach who is running a program like that, most notably Mike Krzyzewski and John Calipari, they will tell you it is exhausting. And now it's compounded by the transfer portal and the new transfer rules that allows players to change schools once without penalty. So now the job of a college basketball coach is to recruit a team. And then throughout that season, you got to continue to re-recruit your team. Make sure you don't lose the whole thing to the transfer portal. We have accomplished very good college basketball coaches right now who have lost 5, 6, 7 players to the transfer portal. It doesn't mean that I'm against it, because I have forever been for the rules being more fair and allowing student athletes who are unpaid to transfer without penalty is fair. I've argued on behalf of this rule change for years. I'll never argue against it. But two things can be true at the same time. This is the fair rule to have in place. True statement. But boy, it sure does make a job difficult for college basketball coaches. True statement. So now, you're running a program like Duke. You're recruiting one and dones. So you're only getting them for 8 months, and then they're gone, and then you got to recruit the next batch. And oh, you got to compete with Kentucky and Kansas and North Carolina, but also the G League program, and now other alternative routes. Makes it more difficult than it's ever been. And then, on top of all that, you also have to re-recruit your non-one-and-dones back to campus every year. Because if they want to enter the transfer portal and bounce to a new school, for whatever reason, they're now allowed to do it. It's an exhausting job. Exhausting job. Now, are the people who have these jobs well compensated for them? Of course. They get paid a lot of money to do their jobs. But it has never been a more demanding job than it is right now. I know coaches in their 40s who are worn out. Constant Zooms, constant text messaging, constant phone calls. I haven't even mentioned coaching your actual team yet. Just all the other stuff that goes hand in hand with running a college basketball program. It never stops now. There is no dead period. You go on vacation for a week, half your team could be in the transfer portal by the time you get back. So you don't go on vacation. You don't take real family time. Unless you're really, really, really comfortable, really comfortable, you're working 7 days a week in season and out with very few exceptions. So it should be unsurprising that a man about to turn 75, who's got all the money in the world, a legacy cemented, and grandkids to love, has decided, yeah, I'm going to leave this for somebody else. And so that is the best explanation for why Mike Krzyzewski has decided to walk away. Not because he can't still coach at a high level. He clearly can. Not because he couldn't keep Duke operating at the top of the sport. He clearly could. But because what it will take to do that is more demanding than it's ever been. It would be demanding if you were 45, 55, 65. So think about what it must be like when you're 75. There are better ways to spend your time. I will never believe it is a coincidence that two of the all-time greats both decided to announce they're leaving the sport within roughly 2 months of each other. First Roy Williams back in early April, and now Mike Krzyzewski in early June. If the sport never changed, I think they'd be happy to keep coaching just a little bit longer. But with the difficulty of keeping players on campus, either because of the NBA or because of transfers, the things you have to do now to run a program successfully, when you start weighing the pros and cons of how to spend your days, and let's be honest, your last years on earth, do you want to spend them that way or doing something else? First, Roy Williams decided it's time for me to do something else. And now Mike Krzyzewski has decided soon enough, next March or April, it'll be time for him to do something else. Which means we will have a fairly rare thing in sports this upcoming college basketball season, which is the ability to know in advance that we are watching the final go-around of an icon. Like, we don't get that as often as you think in sports. Like, even when Michael Jordan was playing for the last time with the Chicago Bulls, there was some thought that this might be the last time with the Chicago Bulls, but we didn't know for sure. With Mike Krzyzewski, you will now know for sure. You know, if you are a Wake Forest fan or a Carolina fan or a Syracuse fan or a Louisville fan, when he comes into your building, you'll know that this is the last chance you'll ever watch him coach in this place. It'll be a dominant storyline that I know will be stomach-turning for some because the anti-Duke thing is alive and well. But speaking for me personally, I think it'll be fun and cool and something that can perhaps lead to college basketball resonating in November, December, January, and February more than it normally does, especially if Duke shows itself to be a real contender and we can start having realistic conversations about how maybe, just maybe, the last game of the 2022 NCAA tournament could double as the final game of Coach K's career. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, we will turn our attention to the NBA. It has been a wild past 24 hours in the association. Incredible performance last night from Damian Lillard. Incredibly terrible performance from the Los Angeles Lakers. And then earlier today, big news out of Boston. Danny Ainge is no longer running the franchise. Brad Stevens is no longer coaching the team. We'll touch on every one of those stories next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike.
Grizzlies Jazz, game 5 is scheduled for tonight in Salt Lake City. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but I wanted to spend this segment on the past 24 hours in the NBA because it has been a wild past 24 hours in the NBA. We got an incredible individual performance from Damian Lillard. We got an uninspiring team performance from the Los Angeles Lakers, and a local product, Cameron Payne, got hot for Phoenix and has LeBron on the verge of elimination. And then this morning, massive news out of Boston. Danny Ainge has retired. Brad Stevens has transitioned to the front office. So the Celtics are looking for a new head coach. A lot going on, Big Bet Bennett.
Yeah, no kidding.
A lot going on. So let's start with last night and then make our way to this morning's developments. There were three NBA playoff games last night. The first one that tipped was Game 5 Celtics-Nets in Brooklyn. And honestly, there's not much to say on that one. The Nets are just better, way better. Mm-hmm. They got big performances from each of the big three, and when that happens, you just probably ain't beating them. James Harden had 34 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, triple-double. Kyrie Irving, he had 25 points on just 14 shots. Kevin Durant had 24 points on 16 shots. So it's like 83 points from Brooklyn's big three. And there was a stretch of the fourth. I don't know if you were watching, but James Harden is playing point guard on offense and defending the Celtics center, Tristan Thompson, on defense. They go small, and they're, like, just killing. So there's about 8 minutes left. It's a single-digit game. Boston's hanging around. It never feels like they're going to win, but they are hanging around. And then KD hits a step-back 26-footer, pushes the lead to 12. Boston gets it out of the net, turns it over. Kyrie pulls in transition from 26 feet, buries it. Next Brooklyn possession, James Harden for three. Good. Like, in a span of 49 seconds, it went from Brooklyn 97-89 to Brooklyn 106-91. The Nets went on a 9-2 run in 49 seconds, and you could just see the Celtics basically shrug, like what are we supposed to do with these guys? Like, what are we supposed to do with these guys? Three future Hall of Famers, two former MVPs in their prime, just bombing you. It's an impossible set of circumstances for Boston. So the Nets won the game, 123-109, series over, and now they're going to advance. They're going to play Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and Brooklyn is listed as minus 240 favorite in that series. And the Nets, and by the way, are now, by a decent margin, the betting favorite to win the NBA title. So that was the early game. Again, nothing really crazy about that. But then things got crazy with the late games. Big Ben Bennett, did you watch Dame Time in real time, or did you just catch the highlights?
No, real time. Think Dame is appointment television, in my opinion.
Boy. Woo! That was fun to watch.
Yeah,
that was one
that
where...
was ridiculous.
I mean, you know, and like, you had to go find it. I mean, not necessarily find it, but like, you know, everybody's focused, for the most part, on Lakers, Suns. Mm-hmm. It's on TNT.
Right.
And then there's this Denver-Portland game happening on NBA TV, and you start seeing people tweet like, oh, here goes Dame. And it's like, all right, since the Lakers are down a million, let's focus on that. And if you focused on that, if you like basketball even a little bit, and maybe if you don't at all, you were enjoying an all-time great playoff performance from a phenomenal player who is, I think, the biggest late-game killer working today. To be clear, the Blazers lost the game, 147-140 in double overtime to Denver. But the story was still Damian Lillard. This dude took 24 shots, made 17 of them, and finished with 55 points in 52 minutes. He was 12 of 17 from three, and his 12 three-pointers set a new record for most threes ever made in a playoff game by anybody. It was just one step-back three after another. He hit one to tie the score with 3.7 seconds remaining in regulation. Hit another with 6.6 seconds left in the first overtime to force a second OT. And then Portland, you know, they were actually down 9 points with 2:12 left in the first OT. Like, it seemed close to over, but then the Blazers closed the period on a 12-3 run, all 12 points coming from Dame, and that's how they got to the second overtime. It was totally ridiculous to watch. Like, the type of incredible thing that had fellow NBA players calling it a godlike performance. KD, Steph, everybody was tweeting about it. Ja chimed in on Twitter with a simple WTF. The whole thing was bananas. But again, Denver won the game. So the Nuggets are now up 3-2 heading into tomorrow's game six. That'll be in Portland, and Dame will likely have to go big to avoid elimination. So that'll be fun to watch. I'm with you. He's appointment television at this point. Hopefully, Portland will win game six, and we'll get a game seven on Saturday. Yeah. Meantime, like, while Dame was putting on that all-time great performance, it pains me to say this, but our king was getting worked.
What happened?
Oh, boy.
What the hell happened?
Well, I think it starts with Anthony Davis didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
It is compounded by LeBron James isn't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And compounded by the roster. Like,
no, it's not good.
Nobody's ever gotten this twisted up. Like, LeBron and AD might be good enough to win you a championship if they're both healthy and playing at a high level. That's what happened last season. But if one of those guys ain't around, and if one of them ain't around and the other one's hobbled, well, then maybe this is what they are.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a point guard. Like, the Schroeder signing is clearly a disaster for them. Like, he has just not been good for them. And he's, LeBron, only true point guard.
LeBron plays most.
And LeBron's the point guard, right.
I mean, yeah, LeBron's playing point guard. But, you know, like, here's the thing. Like, you don't think LeBron knew going in that he needed to take over the game? And here's the truth. Again, pains me to say this. He couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it. Now, is that because he's older than he's ever been? Or is it because he's older than he's ever been and he's not 100%? Probably a combination of the two. But holy hell, what a beatdown. The final score was Suns 115, Lakers 85. They were down 30 at the half. Never made a run. At one point, they trailed by 36. I mean, it was over at halftime and never really got better. And special shouts to Cameron Payne, the Lausanne graduate, who got 16 points off the bench for Phoenix. He was 7-11 from the field. Couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, it's a cool story.
You know, he went from a lottery pick to completely out of the NBA in a span of 4 years. That is not normal.
I saw Ja post, I guess it was like an anonymous quote from someone that was in the Bulls front office at the time, and they said, we knew instantly when we signed him that he couldn't play.
Well, then why did you make a deal for him?
I know.
That's the part I don't understand. Like, here's the thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, I saw that quote too, and I don't doubt it's real, but I am puzzled a little bit by it. Like, by the time the Bulls did a deal for Cameron Payne, he had played two seasons in the NBA.
Right.
Like, if it's clear to you after two practices in Chicago that he can't play in the NBA, well, first off, he just played 77 games in the NBA in his two prior years. But, like, you couldn't watch any of that before you do a deal for him? So, again, whatever. I saw the quote, too, and boy, it's a big quote. It's a big quote. And if you're Cameron Payne, after a night like last night, whoever said that about you, you're happy to stick it back to him a little bit, because it's become clear that he can play in the NBA.
Yep.
But it is also true, he went from a lottery pick to out of the NBA in a span of 4 years. He spent the 2019-20 season in China. But then he signed a two-year deal with Phoenix last June, and now he's a real rotation player on a team that is now just one win away from eliminating LeBron James from the playoffs in the first round for the first time ever. And, you know, the Suns are now minus 295 series price. If LeBron and the Lakers get out of this, they will do it from this point as massive underdogs. Because Anthony Davis, even if he plays tomorrow night, you can't imagine he's going to be healthy. I don't know if you saw him trying to move around pregame yesterday, but he seemed in pain. So even if he's back, how effective is he? And if he's not back, that might be a wrap.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it doesn't help things if you're AD, if on the most popular NBA show inside the NBA on TNT, you saw that Charles Barkley, what he nicknamed him?
Yeah, street clothes.
I mean, when you got now, you got Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal calling you street clothes.
Yeah, and Draymond laughing along with it. Like, that's bad. That's a bad deal.
I mean, like, he's clearly hurt.
Yes.
There's no if he was sitting out a game in January just because, or December just because, that is what it is. You don't miss playoff games unless you're hurt. So,
listen, he still called him street clothes, but in fairness, like, after that, he elaborated and said that, like, these guys are playing way too many games this year, that they're way too close together this year.
Yeah, like, I'm hesitant to mock somebody who's genuinely hurt.
Right.
Like, you know, like the
street clothes.
Like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that injury, but, like, you know, you need to move to play basketball.
Yeah,
and with that injury, it moving is painful. So I'm confident he's going to try to give it a go tomorrow. But if you can't move well on a Tuesday, how well are you going to move on a Thursday? And if you can't move well enough and LeBron still isn't 100%, you better hope Chris Paul's shoulder starts bothering him really, really bad. Because short of that, it really might be a wrap, which would obviously be surprising. The reigning world champions don't usually exit the playoffs when the two best players are back from that team the following year in the first round. But that might be the Lakers' reality because now they're going to have to win a game at Staples Center, and then go win a game in Phoenix, a place where just last night they lost by 30. Good luck. So that was the wild Tuesday night we had in the NBA, and then wake up today and massive news out of Boston. Danny Ainge is out as president of basketball operations. He's no longer running the franchise. So that would have been big if it just stopped there. But it didn't stop there. Brad Stevens is going to replace Danny Ainge as the president of basketball operations in Boston. And so his coaching career with the Celtics is at least temporarily over. And now Boston has to hire a new head coach. The leading candidate seems to be Jay Larinaga, who is the son of Miami Hurricanes coach, Jim Larinaga. And so when this gets announced earlier today that Brad Stevens is leaving coaching to run the Celtics, immediately people start with, oh, he's going to come back to college basketball. And I guess to that I would say maybe, but it should never be lost on you that Brad Stevens must have known for a little while that he is worn out from coaching. In fact, that is the reporting, that the bubble combined with the short offseason, combined with the compressed schedule, combined with the team underachieving, combined with, you know, an early exit from the playoffs to a team headlined by a player you used to coach and who left you, Kyrie Irving, like, it's just all, he needs to breathe. He needs to take a breath. And so maybe he'll coach again someday, but if he's known this was probably heading this direction for a while, what does it say that he turned down like a $70 million contract from the University of Indiana 2 months ago? Like, if Brad Stevens would have told Indiana, just give me till the end of the season and I'll be there for $70 million, they would have done that. And there's a scenario where if he really wanted the job, you could, especially as pressure was mounting on you among the fan base, resign as the Celtics coach and accept the Indiana job. What that tells me is, like, he genuinely doesn't want to coach. I mean, he could have continued as the coach of the Celtics or coached Indiana, and he's decided, I want to work in the front office now. And if you know even a little bit about Brad, you know that it is motivated by quality of life. This is a guy who really values life balance. And clearly coaching had run its course, at least temporarily, at least for now. He might wake up one day. He's still very young. He might wake up one day and miss coaching. You know, these two things are possible: to get burned out on coaching and then miss it and want to do it again. And if he ever reaches that point, rest assured he will have options, both in the NBA at the collegiate level. But for now, I'll just take Brad Stevens at his word. For now, he says he does not want to coach, that it has worn him down, and he needed a change of speed. He needed a lifestyle change. And so I would assume he's going to do this at least for a little while. And then honestly, if he decides to return to coaching based on the lifestyle options, I would assume he would return to the NBA before he would return to college basketball. But as always, we will see. When we come back, turn our attention to tonight's NBA schedule, headlined, at least for our purposes, by the Grizzlies and Jazz, Game 5 in Salt Lake City. T. Morant going to be courtside, courtesy of the Jazz owner. So that's a nice gesture, given what happened in Game 2 in Salt Lake City. We'll talk Grizz Jazz next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo, and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed. This is Bonaparte, and he paid for Tucson, and they went on a world conquest, tearing your bone apart. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perverseness. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
You said it's your luck, hey. I'm guessing I'ma be okay. You said it's your feel me now. I feel like I'ma live somehow. Love never meant much to me. Love never meant much to me.
Hey. No Hands Stand Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. Five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered three times to create a soft finish. I'm certain you know by now it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And I promise it is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it is a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. Makes no sense to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you're going to be able to find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy in these warm months. So, when you're in the liquor store, if you're looking for a bottle of vodka, you look for New Amsterdam Vodka. They've also got flavored vodka, so if that's your thing, they'll be right there on the shelf. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, for any reason, choice or necessity, then understand that not every vodka company makes a gluten-free vodka, but New Amsterdam does. It's got a brown label on it. If you don't see it, ask for it. They can get it for you. Next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store, ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Game 5, Grizzlies Jazz, is set for tonight in Salt Lake City. The Jazz are listed as 9.5-point favorites. It's a closeout game for the home team because they lead the series 3-1. They have won three consecutive games because after Game 1, two things happened. They got Donovan Mitchell back, and they decided to never miss another three-pointer again. I'm going to be completely honest with you, Big Bet Bennett. I don't like saying this out loud, but it's the truth.
Okay.
It is hard for me to get excited once you're down 3-1 and you're on the road as basically a double-digit underdog. It just takes a little bit away from it.
I understand that. Yeah, I get that. I would love another Friday night home game. That's why I'm excited about this game tonight.
I couldn't wait for game one. After you win game one, I can't wait for game two. You get the game two 47-point performance from John Morant. Tied 1-1 coming back home. Can't wait for game three. You go down 2-1, but you were leading in the fourth quarter. Took a nap, so I'd be fully rested for game four. That was a fun way to spend, was it Memorial Day night?
Mm-hmm.
But once you go down 3-1, it just seems impossible, does it? And I know it's not impossible. I know it's not impossible. I'm just saying it feels impossible.
It does feel impossible. Like, if they win tonight, then I can, you know, okay, you're coming back home, going to get another good crowd, and then maybe you force a game seven. Anything happens in a game seven. So if you win tonight, I can get myself ramped back up again, too. But, yeah, I mean, it does kind of feel like you're going to a funeral a little bit.
I'm going to enjoy this more than I would enjoy a funeral. I'm certain.
I think I will as well.
But point well taken. Nice story posted last night by Tim McMahon over at ESPN.com detailing how Ryan Smith, the Utah Jazz owner, has provided complimentary courtside tickets, lodging, car service, the whole deal for John Morant's family and friends after the ugly incident in game two. So let's give credit where credit is due. Like, you know, those three Utah fans acted like racist idiots and they got what they deserved. But clearly the Utah organization is trying to do everything they can to make this right. And they'll never be able to undo it. But they can do everything they can do to try to make it as right as they can make it. And so this is a nice gesture from Utah, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. And so I would assume that no other Utah fans will get out of line with T. Morant or anybody else connected to Ja tonight. And hopefully it'll be a fun scene, a great game, a fun scene, and something that NBA TV will take a moment to highlight, that there is Ja Morant's father back in Salt Lake City, this time being treated respectfully, the way he should have been treated all along.
Story number two.
So we also tonight get game five, Washington, Philadelphia, in the Wells Fargo Center. It's a closeout game. Exact same situation as Grizzlies, Jazz. Philadelphia, the higher seeded team, leads the series 3-1. But the thing that I think makes this a little more interesting, Joel Embiid is out with a lateral meniscus tear in his right knee after taking a fall during game four on Monday night. He is technically listed as day-to-day, but if you're Washington, and I guess this is why if you're Washington, you can feel a little better about your 3-1 deficit than you can, realistically speaking, if you're Memphis, is that if you're Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, you're looking across and going, they just lost their best player.
Yep.
Like, let's go try to steal game five and then go home for game six. And again, Embiid is listed as day to day, but like,
it's got a freaking meniscus tear.
It's a meniscus tear. You know, I'm not going to diagnose him from, the radio thousands of miles away, but like, it's a lateral meniscus tear. I promise you, if it was the regular season, they wouldn't just say day to day. They'd be saying we'll reevaluate him after a certain period of time. He does not need surgery, or at least they're not going to try to fix this right now with surgery. But this is a big thing for a team that, you know, is good enough to win a world championship with Joel Embiid healthy. But with him unhealthy or even hobbled, well, good luck. Getting, you know, past eventually either the Bucks or the Nets, but in the short term, you know, the Washington Wizards. And so this game is at least somewhat more interesting than it otherwise would be, because if Philadelphia is going to close this thing out in five games and advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals to play either the Hawks or the Knicks, well, then they're going to have to win this game without their best player. And in the NBA, that is not always, in fact, it's not usually a simple thing to do.
Story number three.
Speaking of Hawks Knicks, they're also playing tonight, game five. And yet this is a situation that's flipped a little bit differently because it's the lower seeded team that is actually up 3-1 and in a situation where they can close out tonight. Hawks on the road inside Madison Square Garden, led by Bennett's favorite player, Trae Young.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
I can remember back in the regular season when you were trying to tell me, Trae Young ain't never won anything. He's not
Well, he still hasn't, GP.
He's about to.
We'll see.
He's about to.
I don't know if it's going to be tonight.
You have turned me. You've turned me into an Atlanta Hawks fan somehow.
I don't understand that. I just cannot get behind you on that, GP. I'm sorry,
dude. Atlanta's good.
They are good. Are they good, or are the Knicks like just not ready for this yet?
I think both things are true. I think the Knicks aren't that good, but
they don't have a really great roster. Like, they've had a really nice regular season, but you can tell in these playoffs, the Knicks roster, they got a lot of work to do in the offseason.
When I went and looked it up earlier in the series, like, one of the things you find out is
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.